Hey friend, welcome back here to the Semi-Seminary, and here we are, another installment of our Bible study series we're calling The Bible for Grown-Ups. This is a perfect example of one of the stories from the Bible that we, if we grew up around the church world, we heard of about as children, and we know some of the stories, kind of, but we really don't know, as adults, what the life, the example, the testimony of Samson's life can actually mean for us. We don't have an adult understanding of a very childish story. This is what we're trying to do here in this episode, or in this series. And in this episode, we're going to look at Samson. Again, a flawed individual, frustratingly so. It's very much like us, filled with God's potential, but often plagued by a very weak will. This week, we're going to look at how Samson, just like us often, allow ourselves to be emotionally led, emotionally driven instead of spiritually led. I'll see you on the other side. All right. Well, Judges 14, Old Testament, Hebrew Scripture. So we're going to start in the Bibles again. We've been looking at this very interesting character by the name of Samson. I even brought my sight and sound souvenir coffee cup of Samson, the play. So if you missed last week, let me just give everybody a quick rundown of what we've covered so far. Samson is a guy who at birth, remember, was set apart by these vows called Nazarite vows, marking him as being called and chosen by God to bring about the deliverance of God's people from the oppressive hand of the Philistines. And so God, you may know this about Samson. Most people know this when they think about Samson from the Bible. God gave Samson supernatural strength. Inside Samson was more potential than you and I could probably even imagine. But the problem is, like so many of us, even though he had this great potential from God, he continues to make self-destructive decisions over and over again and again and again and again and again. In fact, we summarized his life with one main statement last week, if you remember. We said that Samson was an incredibly strong man with a dangerously weak will. Samson was an incredibly strong man, just like many of us, so much potential that's been given to us by God. And yet, because the weakness of our will, we end up making poor decisions. If you remember also last week, we looked at three attitudes that make strong people weak, right? And the first was lust. Samson leaves his town, crosses into Philistine territory, pursues a Philistine woman, a woman who would have been off limits to him. And remember, he said, I want it. Then we saw a spirit of entitlement with Samson. He broke this Nazarite vow. Remember, whenever he kills the lion becomes dead. And he comes back and he sees the lion's carcass. But now inside the carcass is a beehive and he wants the honey. So he scoops his hand into the carcass and he eats the honey, touching a dead thing, breaking this vow of being a Nazarite. And he justified doing this to himself by often doing what we do. We convince ourselves, I deserve it. And then finally, the third thing, he had pride. When he wasn't supposed to go near alcohol, remember, he throws a keg party before his wedding. And he thought, I can handle it. And we watched as this strong man became very weak. We're going to look again today at his another one of his vulnerabilities. And here's our key thought for this week. Samson was emotionally driven, but he was not spiritually led. He was driven instead by his emotions instead of being led by the Spirit. And for those of us who are Christians, one of our big problems is we should be led, we should be led by the Spirit in all that we do. But we're often, many of us, driven by our emotions. And the challenge becomes, right, is the fact that reason why it's hard for us to see that about ourselves is we generally, especially guys, right? We generally, though, I mean, I think even as people, we don't like to think of ourselves as emotional people, right? And I think the reason why is because often we equate being emotional with being irrational, and that gets this negative connotation. But the reality is that we're all emotional people. Emotions are given to us by God. It's not the emotions that are bad, it's just that we shouldn't allow ourselves to be driven by them. Problem is, folks, if we're really honest, how many would us, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I mean, honestly, how many of us would say that sometimes we allow our emotions to lead us to do something or say something that we shouldn't have done, right? That is very, very common, right? Because of our emotions, we often act and we do the ungodly thing rather than being led by the Spirit. And what we want to do, right, is what's right. But we let our emotions take over. And I'm not sure how this plays out in your home. Maybe, you know, you work hard and you want to engage more with your children, right? But whenever you get home, right, I need to engage, but I'm emotionally fried. And then instead of doing what you know to be right by the Spirit, it's just easier to sit back and disengage and click the TV on, right? Maybe you say something stupid, you do something stupid, and you know you're being Spirit-led, right? You know you should apologize. You should apologize. But because of your pride, you don't do it. You allow yourself to be emotionally driven instead of spiritually led, right? Someone does something and you don't want to explode in anger, but you do. And you end up just like the Apostle Paul, when he says in his letter to the Roman church in verse 7, why is it that the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I end up doing? And for many of us, the answer is because we allow ourselves to be emotionally driven, not Spirit-led. This is why he says in the letter to the Galatians, in chapter 5, and 16 and 17. So I say, live by the Spirit. We need to be Spirit-led, right? What will we not do, Paul says? We will not gratify the desires of our sinful nature because, verse 17 says, for the sinful nature desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what's contrary to the sinful nature. The two, he says, they are in conflict with each other so that we do not do what we want. The problem for Samson and for so many other folks is that we are emotionally driven rather than spiritually led. And so let's watch this play out in a story from Samson's life tonight. Now, if you missed last week again, let me just catch you up. He went and pursued a woman who worshipped a false god. She was a Philistine woman. And Samson, the Nazarite, the Hebrew, says, I want to marry her. I don't care what God says. I don't care what my dad says. And so he is kind of like at the bachelor party stage of this wedding. Wedding's about to go down obviously, because she's a Philistine woman, there are Philistine people hanging around. He's hanging around with about 30 Philistines, whom, again, remember, are God's enemies. And so he says to these 30 folks, I think this starts at about 5 of chapter 14 of Judges. He says, hey, I'm going to tell you a little riddle. Let's have a battle of wits, right? Because everybody knows, especially, like, think about, you had a bachelor party, whatever. Everybody knows that men like to compete all the time. And it's funny because he goes on and says, and let's put a little wager on it. Again, because everybody knows when men are competing, they need to have something to make it fun after all. So he makes a stupid bet. I just think it's stupid. I just don't understand. He says to the 30 guys, he says, I'll bet you 30 pieces of linen and 30 pieces of clothing that I can win this and you'll lose. Which is stupid, right? Because if he loses, he's going to have to produce 30 outfits. But the 30 men, they only have to produce one outfit apiece. But I digress, right? And he says, I'll give you 7 days to figure this out. And here's the riddle that he wants to ask them. Now, again, if you were with us last week, you'll remember what was the animal from the cat family that he killed? A lion, right. And what does he do? He touches the lion, even though he'd promised God that he's not to touch anything. But what does he scoop out? He scoops out a handful of honey out of the dead lion and compromises this vow before God, which plays into the riddle. Verse 14, Judges 14, he says to the Philistine, these dudes, he says, here's the riddle. Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. Okay, obviously, because we know the story, they don't. Of what he has done with the lion and the honey, he's talking about the lion and the honey. The strong and the eater, the eat and the sweet, it's the lion and the honey. But for 3 days, scripture says, the Philistines, obviously, because this event happened to Samson in private, right? They couldn't have known. The only person that could know the story is Samson himself, right? So they couldn't give, for 3 days, couldn't give the answer. They're getting angry. They're losing. So they go to the woman who's to be the wife. And they say, trick him. Get the secret out of him. And if you don't get the secret out of Samson, we're going to burn you and your dad to death. Right? And that's what they say. So the bride uses the wife's greatest weapon. Right? When in doubt, cry. Right? Works every time. When in doubt, cry. And for 7 days she cried, you don't love me. So finally, he caves into the tears. He tells her the secret, and she tells them. And we pick up the story, verse 18. Before sunset on the seventh day, folks of the town said to Samson, here is the answer. Okay? What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? And Samson is furious that they have figured out his riddle and he is lost. Not only is he angry, he's embarrassed. He gets very upset. He says to them the stupidest thing I think he could have said. If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would have not solved my riddle. Right? And you can laugh. That's funny. I looked this up. If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would have not solved my riddle. I just want to say I looked it up in the Hebrew language. And you know what it really is saying? It really is saying, if you hadn't plowed my heifer, you wouldn't have solved the riddle. But you know what it means? That's exactly what it means. Yes, he's talking about his wife. But the riddle itself is also the answer, the riddle and the answer. It's kind of a microcosm of Samson's life as well. Yes, that's exactly what is being spoken of in 14:18. Right? I mean, you talk about an arrogant jerk, a bad loser, bad decision maker over and over again. So, folks, there's got to be some lessons. That statement, right? Somewhere, there's something that we can learn from all of these mistakes. One, don't call your wife a heifer. Exactly. Right? But I do think there are two things that God wants us to internalize about this. And I want you to watch as Samson caves into a weakness that so many folks battle with. Rather than responding to the spirit of with the Spirit of God, he responds with emotion. He ends up being here emotionally driven, not spiritually led. And watch as he falls victim to two emotions that often take the strong folks down despite their potential. Right? And maybe you can relate to these, my friends, as much as I can. The first one is this. there's anger. Samson burned with anger. Verse 19, the middle of the verse, it says, Samson went down to Ashkelon, struck down 30 of their folks, stripped them of their belongings, and then gave those clothes to those that explained the riddle. So he goes down to Ashkelon, fights 30 dudes, kills them, takes their clothes, comes back, pays the debt. Right? Innocent people had nothing to do with this. And then the Bible says, Scripture says specifically, burning with anger, he went then to his father's house. Verse 20, and Samson's wife was given to the friend who had attended him, Samson, at his wedding. Now, you might just stop. Wait, stop. What just happened? The wife got given away to the best man? Yes, that's exactly what happens here. Samson lost the bet, and he left before the wedding itself basically had started. He goes on this killing spree for who knows how long. How long does it even take to kill 30 men and strip them and come back home? I don't even know. But sometime, right, get the clothing, come back. The bride's father is going to be sitting there. This is a multi-day festival event. This isn't like you just go to the church for two or three hours for someone's wedding. This is multiple days. People are sitting around. He's not going to be embarrassed. We've got this party, all of these guests, and it would not have been uncommon in the ancient world for the bride's father to simply say, well, she's of marrying age. He's not here. I'm giving her to another man. And in this instance, that's exactly what happens. You can only imagine how Samson was the hothead when he comes back. He had already been in a bad mood, and now he comes back and he's in a rage. And he goes out, he's so mad at the Philistines that he goes out and he gets 150 pair of foxes, 300 total, ties their tails together and lights their tails on fire and throws the animals into the Philistine fields where they just go around burning up the crops. You can only imagine the chaos. 150 pairs of foxes with fire in them, in between them, running around like crazy. And because of that, Samson, for all practical purposes, basically burned all of their fields and crops. And guess what? Guess what the Philistines are now? They're furious, right? So you know what they did? They burned the woman who should have been Samson's wife and her dad, burned them and killed them. And we're going to see many, many times in Scripture, Samson's emotionally driven anger cost him, and it often costs other folks as well. Here's the challenge, though. For many of us, anger is our negative default emotion. Right? For example, when someone embarrasses me, I don't just often feel embarrassed. Right? I get angry about it. I'm not just embarrassed, but I'm also angry. Right? And it is simple as this. When you stub your toe on a chair, right? What's the thing we do? We turn back and we kick the chair, stupid chair, right? Because often for many of us, anger is a negative default emotion. Think about this though. Think about this for a moment. What did Samson actually have to be angry about? I mean, he's furious and he's caused all of this destruction and all of this death. And what is he really angry about? He's the one who went out and pursued the wrong woman. He's the one who decided to marry her. He's the one who ignored his parents' advice. He's the one who taunted the Philistines with this riddle. He was the only one who knew the secret. He's the one who gave the secret away. He's the one who left his wife at the altar to go kill these folks. He's the one who burned the villages and the crops with the foxes. In other words, he's mad at the world. But the reality is, most of this mess is his fault. And that's where many of us end up living. We're angry at the world, when in reality, we probably should be angry with ourselves. So often, It could be anything, right? We say things like this all the time. I hate my boss. I hate my stupid job, right? When in reality, you're mad because you didn't finish college or you accepted a job that was you felt like was beneath you, right? And you're mad at yourself, really, but you're trying to take it out on someone else. Or my wife won't meet my emotional, my physical needs, whatever. When in reality, you haven't met any of her emotional needs in months. And you should be held accountable for your actions. Right? You know, I'm mad at God. I don't know, God. Why did you lead me to this place? You know, I shouldn't be going through these things in my life. When the truth of the matter is, right, you are where you are because of your unwise decisions that maybe you're blaming on God. And if that's us, at least in some area of our lives, maybe our lives aren't complete disasters, hopefully, knocking on wood, right? But at least in some area of our lives, let's own that, right? Because that's me at many different seasons in my life, driven by emotions of anger instead of being led by the Spirit. Let's be honest. Right? For many of us, it's anger. It's our outbursts that get us into trouble when we should be driven by the Spirit. Instead, we're driven by emotional anger. Right? And I hope that there's some folks that might just be able to call it for what it really is. I really, you know, I need help in this area. I need help this. Maybe you need to go to a close person and say, I need to be held accountable for this. Maybe some apologies need to take place, right? Maybe there's apologies to a spouse for whatever, right? And not excuses, not justification. It's been really tough. No excuses, just like I've treated you with honor. I have not treated you with honor and respect. Please forgive me, right? I want to be a faithful man. I want to be a faithful woman of God. I want to be led by the Spirit, not driven by emotion. First problem that we see in tonight's story, Samson clearly is driven emotionally by anger. The second thing, Samson was also filled with pride. He was filled with pride and still dealing with his anger. He goes out because the strength that God had given him, right? Remember, this happens after the Spirit has descended upon Samson. So just, I mean, we still have a responsibility despite the fact that the Spirit's in our lives. Right, verse 15. Right, finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it, struck it down, and struck down 1,000 men. Now, we can pause for a moment. That's pretty cocky because that's like UFC on steroids plus 1,000 times God, right? But what we see here, under the power of God, all credit has to go to God. Samson kills 1,000 men. There's nothing impossible with God, and if God wants that done, it's in God's power to do it. But watch who tries to take credit for this in verse 16. After this God event, Samson says, with a donkey's jawbone, I have made a donkey of them, right? With a donkey's jawbone, he says, I have killed 1,000 men. And what we see here is a raw, direct case of a man's worst kind of pride, right? Now, also know he's also being a smart aleck here. When he says, I made a donkey out of them, the Bible translators are being very polite, right? That other word for donkey, A in two crooked letters, that's what he's actually saying, right? So he's full of pride, right? And why is it that so many people battle with pride? Because we find in our minds default things like, look at me, look what I did. Do you like me now? Am I strong? Have I accomplished enough to impress you? Have I conquered enough? Right? Am I a great person? Folks, pride is always born out of our insecurities. Right? And when we don't know who we are in Christ as Christians, right? Pride is the first emotion that will rise up and attempt to take us down. Scripture says that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Right? Scripture also says that pride comes to us before a fall. But for so many folks, it's, hey, look at me. Didn't I do a good job? Don't I have worth now that I have accomplished this or that? And of course, the flip side of pride is equally as dangerous, because it's not, hey, like me for what I've done, but also I don't want to ask for help when I need it. In other words, not only am I, look at me when I'm great, but I don't want you to know where I'm weak either. Same folks full of pride that won't ask for directions, right? Find themselves in a horrible place of need and don't have the courage to tell anyone that they're in need because they're simply too prideful. Why is it that that pride is such a problem for us, right? I think the reason why is because for so many of us, we want to be the main character in the story. We want it to be about us. We want the win. And when we win, we're proud. When we don't win, we're angry. Why? Because we're not in control. And we want to be the main character of the story. But folks, we are never, ever the main character of the story. God is always the main character of the story. And when we understand that God is the main character of the story, then we won't be tempted to be driven by our emotions, but rather led by the Spirit. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of your fleshly nature, because your fleshly nature is in conflict with the Spirit, and the Spirit is in conflict with the fleshly nature. So you do not do what you want. That's the Apostle Paul again. Continually driven by emotion, we will end up just like Samson, a man with divine potential who continues event after event to self-destruct. Right? But if we put our emotions on the altar of God, sacrifice them, yes, that I might feel them, but I not be led by them, right? Because I want to be led by the Spirit. Then God becomes the main character of our story. And suddenly we're not living for the approval of other people, pride, but we're living for the approval of God. And that changes everything. All of a sudden, we can become who God created us to be. And just know, folks, I believe in each one of you. I believe that for those of you that have surrendered your hearts to Christ, there's potential spiritual greatness in each and every one of us. I believe it with all of my heart. And it's not that difficult when we just simply recognize, yes, I've been driven by these emotions, but I don't want to be. Right? I want to be a person of God. I want to be a person of integrity. I want to be a man or a woman of character. I want to be a man or a woman of spiritual strength, right? We, as a man, I want to love my bride as Christ loves the church. I want to have integrity in all the business dealings that I do, right? I want to be a person who imparts spiritual truth to the next generation, right? The world has yet to see what God can do through one person whose heart is wholly surrendered unto God. And you could be that person. You could. Right? And you might say, I've blown it. Right? I messed up big time. You won't believe what I've done. And for many people in their lives right now, there's a secret darkness that they worry about all the time. If she found out, if he found out, if they found out, if anybody knew. Right? And many people look at their life and say, there's no recovery from what I've done. I could never rebuild the trust of my family or my kids, right? And if that's you, I've got great news. Because you're in need, and if you will acknowledge your need before a holy God, this could be the greatest day of your life, right? And the reason why is this. If we let our needs drive us to God, God will always meet those deepest needs, right? If we let our need drive us to God, God will always meet those deepest needs. And this is what happens to Samson. He kills 1,000 folks, right? He's like, oh no, now amongst the Philistines, I'm public enemy number one. I, friends, he says, I'm in big trouble. They're either going to kill me or, again, he's on the run. I'm going to die of thirst out here in the desert. Here's what he does. He lets his need now drive him toward God. Okay? So watch this happen. Verse 18. Because he was very thirsty, he cried out to the Lord. Now, he's not so full of pride. Now he's humble. He says, you've given your servant this great victory. Must I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised, the Philistines? Verse 19, then God opened up a hollow place in Lehi. A miracle. God is the main character of this story. And water came out of it. And when Samson drank, his strength returned and he revived. When we return to God, our strength will return. Right? But it's not our strength. It's God's strength. Right? And God's strength that comes to us in our weakness that will revive us. Right? In other words, we come back to life. We can all of a sudden begin to be who we were created to be. We can make a difference. We can be a leader. We can live righteously. We could be a person of integrity. When we let our needs drive us towards God, God will meet those needs. And when Samson returned, God gave him water and his strength returned and he was revived. And the good news today, folks, is if you'll have integrity and be honest and say, I've been driven by emotion. I've been driven by anger. I've been driven by pride, whatever it might be, but I want to be led by the Spirit of God. If you will allow your deepest need to take you closer to God, he will meet that deepest need. Right? The world is yet to see what God can do through a person wholly surrendered unto God. Friends, you can be that person. Any questions? I think one of the beautiful things about the literature that is Holy Scripture is how the work brings to us a story of ourselves, sometimes a reflection in a mirror that we just don't like to see. Often, we just simply refuse to see. Samson, the story of Samson, kind of does that, at least to me. Forces me to look at myself and see all of the blessings in my life. And then also see my human faults for the things that I know keep me from doing and being who God wants and needs me to be. And I think that's an important step, recognizing it and seeing it for what it is and no longer being blinded by it is the first step to conquering it. The problem is it's such a tricky proposition that we have to constantly be reminded. And the story of Samson, hopefully, well, it certainly does it for me. I hope it does it for you as well. Hey, we're halfway through, and we will see you next week with part 3. Until then, friend, be well.